Hello everyone, welcome to episode 217 of the Enough Podcast. My name is Michael Hurley, and I am joined by Mr. Patrick Roan. Hello sir, how are you?
Oh, I'm finally back.
Been on a little trip, have we?
Yes, a little trip that was long, but good. And I'll talk a little bit about it. But we've got a couple of pieces of business to kind of take care of right away. So why don't we do that?
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. We have a new sponsor to the show, so I want to introduce them to everybody. If that's good.
Terrific. I'm excited for this.
So
new sponsors are always good.
Shutterstock.com is sponsoring today. This is where you're going to find over 20 million stock photos, vectors, illustrations, and video clips. You can start searching at Shutterstock.com to find the perfect image for your website, ad, publication, or any other creative project. Shutterstock gives you a global image collection to find images from across the world to suit your project. You can choose between image packs or monthly subscription packages, whatever fits your needs. You never have to compromise with Shutterstock. If you need just one image for a blog post that you're writing, you can take that too. Whatever you want to do, they're flexible to it. You want to buy one image, you want to buy loads, you want to buy just a couple, whatever you want. That's what I love about them. Every time you visit, you're going to find something new, since they add 10,000 new images every single day. And it's more affordable than you think. They don't charge you any extra for large files. You can create...
That's nice.
Yeah, it's good. If you need retina images, that, you know, it's the same as if you was buying one to put on a postage stamp pad. It's, it's all the same to Shutterstock, which is excellent. As you're searching around their site, you can easily curate light boxes, so you can choose your favorite pictures, videos, and all the other cool stuff that they do, and you can add them to your own light box gallery as you search, so you can review them all later. And they have an iPad app to do this too. As well as images, they have icons, infographic templates, vectors, and all sorts of media. It's really awesome. They've got everything. If you need media, they've got it. You can get an account rep dedicated to you, and you have 24-hour support too. So, sign up for a free browse account at Shutterstock.com. Search around. You're going to find the stuff that you want. There's no credit card needed to sign up. When you find the images you like and you decide to purchase, use the code ENOUGH9. That's ENOUGH9. And you'll get 25% off any package. Thanks so much to Shutterstock for sponsoring.
Thanks for sure. And I think I've mentioned this before. Like Shutterstock, use Shutterstock mainly for their vector art. I've used on a couple of web projects for clients. It's, good folks, good guys, and kind of set the standard for stock images online for everyday non-designery folks. So
indeed.
In any case, yes, I just got back from a very long road trip. Started in, here, and traveled to Indianapolis, Indiana, to see some friends there. Just kind of stayed overnight, and that was great. And then we continued on to Columbus, Ohio, where I stayed for a couple of days with Mr. Randy Murray.
Captain Randy.
Captain Randy of Who Writes For You, First Today, First Tomorrow fame. Link to him all the time on Minimal Mac, so those who follow that website should recognize him. As a matter of fact, I think, right now his blog is linked to right at the top of Minimal Mac. So he wrote this really great piece on make life better without drowning and stuff. But Randy and I have been longtime friends. We've known each other for, going on 10, 11, 12 years now, something like that. He's visited me on a couple of occasions, and this was the first time I had a chance to visit him. And, oh, boy, does he have a nice place.
He's shown me pictures, because I've actually had the pleasure of drinking with Randy on two separate occasions.
Yes, when he's visited out to your neck of the woods.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he showed me photos of his home cinema, which I believe has a website.
Yes, it does. We should link to it. It's cinemamurray.com, Murray. And yes, it is. I mean, it's one of these things that you really have to You can't just hear it and think, oh, okay, home theater, I get it. You know, he's got a nice big screen in his basement with a couple of Lazy Boys and, you know, with drink holders in them or something like that. No, this is a purpose-built full movie theater with lobby that has concessions and an arcade in his basement. And just beautiful. To give you an idea of how serious this is, and you have to go to the website to take a look. And the website is great, and you know there's tons of great photos and stuff like that. But you don't really even then get a sense of what this thing is until you actually talk to him and hear him describe how it was built from the ground up. He didn't want a home theater. He wanted a theater in his home, and that's the difference. And what he has created here is an experience that rivals any screening room of any, you know, Hollywood studio executive you could imagine. First of all, the space is actually acoustically decoupled from the rest of the home. In other words, it is designed to be completely acoustically insulated so that you can have the sound up pretty loud on almost anything except for the most blow-up-y, bangy action flick, and you will not hear it in the rest of the home.
Which is very useful if you have a family.
Which is very useful if you have a family, and especially in this case, their bedroom is literally right above the movie theater. And we watched the first thing we watched was Princess Bride with Beatrix. She had never seen Princess Bride before, so it was great to be able to initiate her into what I'm sure will be hundreds of viewings of the Princess Bride for the first time here. But later on that evening, after she'd gone to bed, we watched Life of Pi. You know, Blu-ray, the whole nine yards. It was stunning. Absolutely stunning. I almost want to go back and watch it again because it was almost like I couldn't... I was geeking out so much on the visuals and how it looked and how it sounded and everything else in that theater that almost is worth viewing on just my regular TV, so I know I got the whole story, you know? Absolutely great. Just great. So yeah, go to cinemamurray.com, take a look at the pictures, and really see kind of the extent to which one can go when they are trying to achieve a home movie theater. It's quite fantastic. So then after that, we went to Asheville, North Carolina. And first of all, Asheville is a really interesting city. I had no idea how interesting Asheville was going to be, but it's really fascinating. It's, you know, you British types wouldn't understand this necessarily, but Asheville's like the Portland of the South. It's got a huge, like, hippie community, like tons and tons and tons and tons of hippies. I don't know what more I could say other than, you know, than hippies and hipsters. It's just very, very interesting. But the main reason we went was to cross off of my wife's bucket list. She always wanted to see Biltmore. Are you familiar with what Biltmore is, young man?
No.
Probably not. Biltmore is an estate that was built by George Vanderbilt railroad baron fame. It is the largest privately owned residence in America and the largest that was ever built. It is the exact opposite of what we believe in when it comes to just sheer size and excess and no expense spared. It is just astounding, absolutely astounding, and huge. And what's really interesting about it is that it's still privately owned. The Vanderbilt family still owns it, despite the fact that in the 1930s, the home was opened up to the public to be able to see. It and its 8,000 acres of land managed. Land forested and farmed, as well as, you know, the gardens and everything else. But what's really interesting is I found it really
interesting because I saw you post a picture of your beautiful daughter on Twitter, I think.
Yes.
And it looks like somewhere in Britain. It doesn't look like somewhere that would exist in America. No offense. Yeah.
No, and absolutely true. That's exactly what he was going for. He wanted an American castle.
Yeah.
I mean, he wanted to recreate the sort of large private estates that you find all over in Britain. And all over Europe. I mean, Versailles, another example, right, of the sort of thing he was going for. And yes, it is that immense. But, anyone who knows about the history of George Vanderbilt knows that he was a ruthless businessman. I mean, he crushed competitors, sought total monopoly and control over the industries that he was involved in. As a matter of fact, the anti-monopoly acts and laws that were put in place are largely thanks to him, i.e., were to try to stop guys like Vanderbilt and guys like Carnegie from basically gobbling up entire industries and not allowing any competition whatsoever. But what's interesting is that and I've discussed this before. When you have that kind of money, and you're able to do things like this kind of property, this house can't just survive on its own. In other words, you can't build a house that large and not hire several hundred people just to maintain it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it requires that. That's part of the package. If you think of, anyone who owns a home kind of knows the little things that pop up here and there, I need to fix this light, or I need to install this, I need, this toilet is running, I need to call the plumber, or it's time for a new roof, or those sorts of things. Imagine having that happen with if you have that happen with a 2,000 square foot home, imagine having that happen with a 40,000 square foot home, right? I mean, it's that kind of scaling problem.
That's a company you've built.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, the sheer staffing that you require for something like that, you have built a small company that runs to look after this place that makes no money.
Right. But even more so, that's just for the running of the house. Think of the amount of food, for instance, that, if you're going to have. So I should state, Biltmore wasn't even their main residence. It was mainly built as a party house, as a place to escape to entertain, to vacation at, but it was not their main residence. And when you think about that, you think, holy cow, if that's not their main house, imagine. And yes, their other main residences were equally impressive, but because this house was built for that purpose, the vacationing, the entertaining, that sort of thing, I mean, it was not unusual for them to, you know, have parties of hundreds of people every weekend, right? Well, to have the kind of lavish parties that one would throw at that level, well, you kind of have to build the farm that's going to farm the food for the party, right? You have to have not only the cattle, the livestock, the fields, then you also need all of the transportation infrastructure to actually get people to the estate. So that means cars, carriages, roads, bridges, railroads, which, you know, being a railroad baron, not a problem for him. You get what I'm saying, right? And then you have to have a place for all of these people. They, you know, some of them can live on the property, obviously, but I mean, if you're going to literally employ, you know, say 1,800 people, they can't all live on the land. So now you basically have to build a town for them as well. Right? And so it's this problem of scale, right? In order to have that kind of luxury and lifestyle, you have to build all the infrastructure to support it as well. It's not just build the house and you'll go down to the grocery store and pick up a few cheese trays from the deli, you know, for your party. It doesn't work that way. And what I find kind of interesting about that is that there's a stewardship involved there. There is a symbiotic understanding that your success and your ability to have the lifestyle that you can afford and desire depends on, you know, the giving jobs at a time when jobs were desperately needed, good jobs, to hundreds of people. And anyone who's watched like Downton Abbey, you know, this is a theme that kind of runs through that show. This idea that as much as the staff is in the employ and dependent upon, you know, serving the needs of the family, the family understands that they can't have that life without the staff. And so the staff are tremendously important, I would say equally important in return, right? And without the staff, there is no Downton, right? And same thing here. Without the farmers and the butlers and the maids and the cooks and the, you know, the gardeners and the, you know, there was no Biltmore, and that's still the case today. Biltmore still employs 1,800 people in the city of Asheville. Like I said, it's still owned by the Vanderbilt family, several of whom live on property, not in Biltmore, but have another home on property somewhere, 8,000 acres. So, you know, it could be anywhere. Who knows? And that they still take very, very good care of their employees and understand that in order to maintain this home and allow it to be of service, not just to themselves, but also to, you know, the literally, you know, tens of thousands of visitors that they get every year, that it requires that kind of stewardship. And now I'm going to bring this back down to our level, the level of those of us that work for a living. You know, the fact is we too don't exist in a bubble, and we don't purchase things in a bubble, right? Like I've explained before, we purchase, say, even, you know, a MacBook. There were hundreds of hands that touched that MacBook before it enters ours. whose livelihood and jobs are as dependent upon that MacBook reaching our hands as that MacBook might be to our being able to perform our jobs. And I think it's easy to think about the fact that we exist in a bubble and that, you know, somehow these things just kind of magically make themselves or robots are building them somewhere. But that's just not the case. The fact is that we are all stewards of these things. We are stewards of this world that we live in, and that our participating in it naturally requires the sacrifice of others. And that we too sacrifice a fair bit in return for in return for these nice things that we have. And that's why it's important to care for and to understand the importance of everything that we own and be good stewards of that and to respect the work and labor and sacrifice that went into us being able to have those things. So,
one of the things that I love about you as a human is your ability to see things like that when most people would just be enjoying a holiday or a trip or going to a stately home. Like your ability to see these details or these, you have to have these thoughts about things in such a deep manner, I think is something that many people wish that they could have.
Yes, but then again, the flip side of that is that I can't turn it off.
You can't have fun.
Right, exactly. You know, it's really difficult for me to turn that off. Anyone who has read PatrickRoan.com in the past couple of days knows that a good part of my thinking this vacation went into why it is that my daughter is such a joy and pleasure to travel with. When so many other parents complain about, you know, traveling with the kids and how the, you know, how difficult it is. And, you know, and I, the point I make is that, you know, we kind of designed it that way because, well, we always have traveled with her. And so and travel's important to us. And so we made sure that she was a good traveling companion by raising her that way.
Nurture, not nature, right?
Yeah. Well, it's nature and nurture, but, you know, I think it can only become nature if you actually actually put them into those sorts of situations, right? If you never take a kid to a nice restaurant, they're never going to learn how to behave in a nice restaurant. Yep. So then when you do take them to a nice restaurant and they're bouncing off the walls and yelling and screaming and, you know, creating havoc for the other guests at the restaurant, you shouldn't be that surprised because they don't know how to behave in a restaurant because you don't bring them to nice restaurants, right? It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, and that you have to start that stuff very, very young. You know, Beatrix probably, you know, logged more frequent flyer miles in her first year of life than most people do in 10 years. And then that's by design. But I guess, you know, the larger point is that, yeah, I can't turn this off. And there are times when I wish I could just go and appreciate things for just appreciating them and not, you know, always be looking and searching for some deeper, bigger meaning in it. But then we probably wouldn't have a show if I did that. So.
Exactly.
Talking so about, we got to thank someone, some other folks. Speaking of,
exactly, you know,
stewards of the things that we care about.
I was just gonna say, talk about having a show. We wouldn't have a show if it wasn't for these guys as well.
Yeah, it's true.
That is the fine folks over at Squarespace.com. So this episode is brought to you by Squarespace, the only one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio, business site, store, anything, blog, whatever you want, for a free trial and for a special 20% off during the month of September.
Wait, what? 20?
20% off. Go to squarespace.com.
It's not always 20, is it?
It's usually 10. 20.
Okay, so the 20's new?
20's for September. Special.
Okay, look, guys, this is... I just want you to understand here.
This doesn't
Listen
happen.
Up to this one. I know you guys like kind of tune out by, about the Squarespace thing by now, but this one you need to listen to. 20%.
They don't tune out, Pat. They listen every week intently because it's the best part of the show.
There you go.
Now, we have had Squarespace as a sponsor of ours for nearly a year and a half.
Yeah.
They have sponsored this show every episode. It's the first time that they've done 20%. So,
the very first time.
Pay heed to that, dear listeners, and go to squarespace.com and use the offer code TALLYHO9, TALLYHO9. So, this is the perfect time for you to start that new project. Let me tell you some stuff that I love about Squarespace. They have 20 highly customizable templates that you can choose from. Beautiful designs, and they all have fantastic style options that you can tweak to create a really unique website for you, your business, a client even. They've won numerous design awards from prestigious institutions like the Webbies and Forbes. They have 24 hours a day, 7 day a week customer care. And they've won awards for that too. A Gold Stevie Award most recently. Every design that they do, every template, every website features a unique mobile experience that matches the overall style of your website, scales everything down, makes it look beautiful in a responsive way. Whether you need a simple solution to build a website or you want to go all out with code changes and use their developer platform, nearly every level of customization is available with Squarespace. You can develop your own template if you want on top of Squarespace's solid infrastructure, so you can have your site look in the custom way that you want it. You don't have to worry about things like hosting, caching, installing software, or configuring your databases. You can choose a content management system with Squarespace that shares your high standard design, ensuring that your clients or you will get an experience in the back end on top of a great looking website. Version control built right in, since every template is its own Git repository. Go check them out. Starts at $8 a month. Includes a domain name for free if you sign up for a year. And you get 20% off this month, and you'll be supporting this show if you use the offer code TALLYHO9. So go check out Squarespace. Everything you need to create an exceptional website.
20% off,
20%,
folks.
20%.
Roll back. Hear that offer code. Use it.
And they really are telling me it is just for this month. So
well, like we've said, they've never offered that before. In the year and a half that they've been sponsoring the show. So I have no doubts that they're going to go back to the 10%. Mm-hmm. So if you've been on the fence about trying it out, you at least owe yourself to give it a shot at that price. I mean, this is not like a, you know, the sort of thing. These are not the sort of folks that are like, oh, you know, you're going to sign up for some two-year contract and we're not going to let you out without a deactivation fee or anything like that. This is, you know, these are good folks that have made an amazing product and they want you to try it.
You can pay
and
for a year.
20% is their commitment to
you
that.
You can pay for a year, you'll get it cheaper and you get a domain, or you can go month to month. It's up to you.
But it's up to you. So give it a shot. I mean, and you can do the month to month and then pay for a year.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no stopping you. You decide, hey, this is great. I'm going to keep using it. I might as well just pony up some bones for a year. You go right ahead.
Exactly.
So
there we go.
So yeah. So the one final other kind of interesting note I wanted to make about the trip and an insight was this. On our way back. We had two options leaving Asheville. We could have just gone down the interstate and made it in good time to our next destination from there, which was Indianapolis. Or we could have taken the I believe it's the Blue Ridge Mountain Highway, or it goes through the Great Smoky Mountains. Asheville is kind of in the middle of this mountain range called the Great Smokies, and it is just gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. It's called the Smokies because regularly fog and clouds settle on it. It always has this kind of smoky look to it. It's just fantastic and beautiful, like something out of Lord of the Rings. And we that would have led us around, and we connect back up with the freeway. But it took us out of our way by our estimations about 40 minutes extra. It turned out to be far more than that, but not because of anything else, but some unknowns and beauty, frankly. And here's the thing. We were in the Smokies. We opted to take this scenic road for its beauty. We didn't know what was up there. All we knew was that it was going to be this beautiful, winding, sometimes, dangerous mountain road. And it was more beautiful than that. We had no clue. We were not prepared for the beauty that we encountered on almost every turn. And this particular road it goes through the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, and it's very well designed with gorgeous scenic overlooks and things like that. And I guess the overall point was, at that point, time went out the window. It didn't matter when we got to our destination. We weren't so suddenly quick to rush off anywhere because we realized that this was our chance, this was our moment, and that we had chosen this path for a reason. And we decided at that moment to take full advantage of that reason. Take the time to sometimes choose the road less traveled, because oftentimes that will be your only chance to have an experience that you will otherwise miss. And I'm so glad that we did, despite the fact that we hit a huge traffic jam on the other side of that, where literally it took us 2 hours to go 10 miles. But that's for another day. Well, Michael, I think we should wrap this one up.
I think
where can we be found?
PatrickRohn.com.
Yep, that's a good place.
At Patrick Rohn, PatrickRohne.
Yep, love that.
And I'm iMike, iMyke.
Note the Y, not the I. It's the Y. All right, and with that, we'll chat later.
We will. Cheers.
Cheers, my friend.